Matthew chapter 6. Just for you, Laura. 5 and a half. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Just continuing through Matthew. Really? Matthew 6:16. So in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with almsgiving, which is charitable giving. He's dealt with prayer. Now he's going to deal with fasting. And these are things that there's no particular law that deals with how much or how often or anything like that. Whereas in Matthew 5, he was dealing with the law, saying it is written, or you've heard it said by men of old, and then interpreting the law. Now he's dealing with things that there's no particular law on, but they're things that deal with people's relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." Remember, that's the whole point of all this, is the Pharisees, and even more than the Pharisees, a lot of people just have a political religion where it's just to be seen of men, to make sure people see what you're doing, and it's an outward righteousness that really is not approved by God in any way. Because the whole point is they're trying to appear to men to be something. So it says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So whatever men give them, that's their reward. So you do something to be a man pleaser, whatever man decides your reward is, that's your reward. And if you're not looking for a reward from God, then you don't have one. Verse 17, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So this one, like I said, this is about fasting. He's dealt with prayer. He's dealt with almsgiving. Now he's dealing with fasting. And let's pray, and we'll talk about these verses here this morning. Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for your words, Lord. We have no idea about Jesus Christ. We have no idea about your character and just some vague understanding of a creator outside of your words. And Lord, I thank you for your words. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve to hear from you. We don't have any. There's no reason we should have this benefit here in our lap here and be able to read it this morning. But I thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would understand what Jesus Christ did for them, understand their sin before you, and understand that Jesus Christ is the only substitute, only substitute of righteousness, the only substitute body and blood that you accept on this earth. And pray they'd understand that and trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Lord, for those that are saved, I pray you'd feed your flock this morning. For those that are teaching, I pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids and take these words and apply them where they need to be applied. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Fasting. You know, if fasting is, I don't know if any of you have ever fasted. Probably most of you have done some kind of a fast at some point. And fasting is something, it can be, depending on how long you do it, you know, pretty difficult, or miss a meal or something like that. Point is, if you're going to do it and be that uncomfortable, you might as well do it right, you know, at least do it right. And so here you have some folks, Jesus Christ is contrasting the way people do it wrong and then the way people do it right. And so he says, when you fast, moreover, when you fast, verse 16. So there's a And fasting, by the way, is, just to define it, it is a private, voluntary abstinence from food and maybe drink to firmly fix yourself to a purpose for which you need help from the Lord. If that makes, I mean, that's a lot of stuff, but you're trying to get a hold of God, and you are dedicated to getting a hold of the Lord, and this is one of the ways you get a hold of him. You put down the flesh so that the Spirit has some opportunity to do something. And it's like I said, a private, it's voluntary, and it's abstinence from food and sometimes even water and drink, but it's for a purpose. And you're seeking the Lord on something. The word fast, it's like fasten. You know, you fix yourself to something. You're fastened, or you take a fastener and put two things together. That's the idea. You fix yourself to a purpose before the Lord and try to get something done that you understand or you think needs to be done. It's like being a standing fast or holding fast. All those things have the same connotation, where you are bound to this thing and dedicated to this thing, where you're not going to let go of it until you know this is resolved or you have peace about it. So Jesus Christ says, when you fast, so there's some expectation that people who are his disciples are going to do that. And this is, remember, this is the contrast of doing something for the purpose of men seeing it, or doing something for the purpose of God seeing it. So give you a few examples of fasting in the Bible. Over in 1 Samuel, we'll just look at a couple of these. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 5. This is when the ark returns to Israel under Samuel here. First Samuel chapter 7, look in verse 3 for the context of it. First Samuel 7:3, so the glory of the Lord is gone, it's been sent back. That's the ark. It's being sent back by the Philistines, and this is what Samuel says to Israel. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. So here's some folks here's Israel. They know they're not on the right side of the Lord at this point. They want to be after Samuel preaches to them. And so they fast for a day in order to fix themselves to the Lord, in order to make things right between them and the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but over in 2 Samuel, after David and Bathsheba commit adultery, there's a child involved now. Bathsheba is pregnant, and 9 months later, of course, baby is born, and the baby is not healthy. And so for, I think it's 7 days, David fasts in order to see if the Lord will heal the baby or what's going to happen. And then after that seventh day, after the baby dies, I think it's on the eighth day the baby dies, David stops his fast because that's the answer. The baby's not going to live here. So David fasts there. Why? Because things aren't right between he and the Lord. And he wants particularly the baby to live, and it doesn't. That's the answer. Over in 2 Chronicles, we can look at this one. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. These are just some fasts in the Bible. show you when people would get serious about something between them and the Lord, was one of the things they would do to firmly fix themselves to this purpose. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Second Chronicles 20, verse 1. This is King Jehoshaphat, and he is being surrounded by enemies here. It says, "It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazaz and Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." So he's surrounded by enemies, and the thing he does in order to fix himself to this cause and not be defeated and overrun by the enemies, he declares a fast in Israel, or in Judah. And so in verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. That's the idea. To ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So just giving you a few examples of fasting. When people get serious here in the Bible, where there is desperation involved, one of the things they do is they fast in order to get a hold of the Lord. Esther, remember Esther? She puts out, if you remember, Haman is going to destroy all the Jews in Persia. Esther's the queen. Long story, Ahasuerus, the king, doesn't know Esther's a Jew, all that kind of thing. Esther tells Mordecai to tell the Jews in the palace to fast for 3 days and three nights. And so for 3 days and three nights, before Esther's going to approach the king, the Jews fast 3 days, three nights, no food, no water. They don't have anything to drink, and they do this for 3 days and three nights. And the idea is they're all going to die anyway under this decree. So just, you know, they're really at a dead end. And so they beg God, they fast for 3 days, three nights, and they beg God for help. And Esther gets an audience with the king, and I think most of you know the story, but all the thing that Haman had set out to do gets overturned and all that. But there's some desperation involved. In Nineveh, Jonah preaches to the Ninevites, and the king of Nineveh says, you know, we don't know if the Lord's going to stop this judgment or not, but we need to do something right. And so they repent. For 3 days, he says they repent in ashes and sackcloth. And then the Lord repents of the things he was going to do to destroy Nineveh and changes his mind on it. So these are just examples of fasting and why people are fasting. What are they doing? The point is to get a hold of God here. And they're desperate in these situations. So when Jesus Christ says, when you fast, don't do it to appear unto men to fast, because whatever men decide is your reward, that'll be your reward. Here's a couple of, go back over to Matthew. Let me show you the verses here. See the contrast. Verse 16, where we started at. Matthew 6:16. Contrast is being seen of men versus being seen of God. And for the Pharisees, for sure, their religion was based on being seen of men. That was their point. They came to church to be seen of men. Their relationship to God was basically only to be seen of men. They didn't really have any desire that God would approve or disapprove. It didn't make any difference what God thought about what they were doing. It was just whether people approved them or not. That was the point, to get men to approve them. Verse 16, Matthew 6:16. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." All right, there's, look back over in, Let's see. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Notice, again, that's what he's talking about. Verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So that's the contrast. It's either a political stunt, it's either a man-pleasing thing, or you're trying to actually get a hold of God. I would say, you know, there's with all the social media stuff like that, you know, there's probably some men-pleasing going on. To be seen of men, that's the purpose of the thing, where there's an empty relationship with God, but as long as people think I'm something, that's what I'm after. This is the Pharisees. That's what they think. Look in Matthew chapter 23. So their religion is political, essentially. That's what it is. And the Lord said, all right, if your religion is to be seen of men, then whatever men give you, that's your reward. And that's what you got. You got your name on a plaque, you got, you know, that's what you get. But if you want to be seen of God, then do this for the Lord. Do it in secret and let the Lord see it. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. That's the deal. Even so, verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So that's a political religion is what it is. It's the appearance of something that's not real. It's the appearance of righteousness where there's no righteousness. So what they do is they outwardly change their clothes into something else. They wear things so people will recognize who they are. And so it's a whole outward thing. I give you an example of this. He said they disfigure their faces. All right, there's been, most recently, can you think of a fast where people disfigure their faces to be seen of men? Ash Wednesday. And that's the purpose of it. You put something to disfigure your face, and the purpose is people see that. I mean, you're not doing it for the Lord to see. If you're doing it for the Lord, there's no reason to disfigure your face. The reason to disfigure your face is so people see what you're doing. So that's a example here. That's what's going on. They disfigure their faces, and the purpose of disfiguring themselves and making themselves sad to be seen of men. Now, that's an example. There have been, I mean, maybe you've fasted. And, you know, I suggest if you're going to fast, don't broadcast it to everybody. That's the idea. You don't have to broadcast to everybody that, hey, I'm going through this, you know, I'm just missing meals and all that kind of thing. If you got something between you and the Lord that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. And don't broadcast to everybody, yeah, man, I'm getting real spiritual here. I'm fasting. Well, deal with it between you and the Lord. The point is, that's what the Pharisees did. They just broadcasted it so that everyone knew how spiritual they were. And the reality is they weren't spiritual at all. They're just political. So that's the contrast. There's men pleasers in religion versus trying to please God. Colossians, Paul said, if you're going to please men, you're not going to be able to please God. If your purpose is to make men happy or to make men think something about you, then God's not involved in that. By your own definition, God's not involved in it because you don't want him involved in it. Your purpose is to be seen of men. All right, that's the Pharisees. That's their fast. And like I said before, fasting can be a difficult thing in itself. So if you're going to do it, you might as well at least do it right and not put yourself through something like that and have God take no note of it at all. So let's see. let's see the right way here. Back over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. All right, Matthew 6, 17. When thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. So don't advertise your contrition, don't advertise your spirituality, don't advertise your righteousness. Just look like normal. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father seeth, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. All right, after every one of these things in Matthew chapter 6, the almsgiving, he talks about being rewarded openly. The prayer, he talks about being rewarded openly. If you're committing these things to the Father, if you're not committing them to the Father, then there's no reward with the Father. If you're committing them unto other men, then that's where your reward is. But if you're going to commit them to God the Father, then that's where the reward will be. So he says, when thou fastest, do it this way. So how long should a person fast? Any ideas? 2 hours. From breakfast to lunch. Big sacrifice. How about this? Give me some examples of how long people fasted in the Bible. 40 days. There's some 40-day ones. 3 days. 7 days. 1 day. There you go. That's good. He said, you want to fast until you get an answer. And that's a good way to do it. I'll give you a few examples here. And he says, when? That's right. Look over in, Daniel chapter 10. Here's one that Daniel did. So there's not really a duration of how long you need to do it. Like I said, this isn't a law. This has to do with somebody just trying to get a hold of God about a specific purpose. Daniel chapter 10. And verse 2. This will also show you the types of fast. Here's what Daniel does. Daniel 10:2 says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, certain man clothed in linen. Then he describes the man. Make a long story short, chapter 10, he's going to get an answer after 3 weeks. And this fast is kind of it's just a bland diet, but he's just subduing his own flesh and putting himself down. And the idea is simply this. The more the flesh is put down, the more opportunity the Spirit of God has to do something. And so that's just the idea of the thing. So Daniel fasts. He's not abstaining completely from everything. He's abstaining from some things. So he has a bland diet, and he's in mourning, and he's trying to get an answer from God about the judgment of Israel. Where do they stand in this whole scope of things? And so after 3 weeks, he gets an answer at the end of chapter 10 about where Israel stands, what's the next step, what's going to happen here. And so that's Daniel fasting 3 weeks. There's another one over in, I think it's over in Acts chapter 10. Look over in Acts 10. Here's another one. This is Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 and verse 30. Cornelius, I guess, had a habit of fasting for a meal or something like that, skipping a meal. as part of his trying to get a hold of the Lord. Acts chapter 10 and verse 30 says, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." So there's Cornelius. He spends part of his day fasting. And he said, you know, a few days ago I was fasting, and I got an answer to my prayer here. And so he goes over and finds Peter, and they get together, and that's Acts chapter 10. Cornelius gets saved, his household gets saved, but he's only fasting as just a day or a meal maybe. So there are various durations of fast. I think what Mike said is pretty appropriate. You fast or you get an answer, because that's the point. You want an answer. So that's the duration. There's, like I said, there's 40 days, there's 3 days, there's 7 days, there's 3 weeks, there's 1 day. Just depends on what the purpose is. What purpose are you trying to accomplish with the Lord? Another thing is, when do you fast? What's a good time to fast? Look over in Matthew chapter 17. I'll give you a kind of a weird one. Matthew 17, 21. And the answer in the Bible is anytime you desire to have some purpose accomplished with the Lord is a good time to fast. Here's an interesting one. Matthew 17 and verse 19. I'll tell you what, give you the context of it. Verse 14. "When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how shall I suffer you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, I don't know exactly how to interpret all of this. I'll give you some thoughts on it. But it says, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So this certain devil was hooked into the flesh in a certain way that if you think about it this way, that devil is like a barb or something that's stuck in the flesh. And unless that flesh is weakened somehow to remove that barb, that devil, the devil's going to stick there. And so he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. So what fasting would do essentially is you beat up the flesh enough, or you put it down enough so it doesn't have any more strength, and that devil has nothing to hold on to, and it leaves. I guess that's one way of looking at it. But he said that this kind doesn't go out. You're not going to get this thing gone unless there's prayer and fasting involved. You can't get it to go away. It doesn't just go away. So that's an interesting one where there's a case where fasting, he said, is the solution to getting this thing out. The flesh has got to be weakened in order to remove that. I mean, I guess it's like a doctor or something. You numb the flesh, you kill the flesh a little bit so you can make an incision and cut the thing out. And so fasting works, as an illustration, works that way. But that's kind of an odd one. But he does say this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Here's another one. Look over in Acts chapter 13, verse 3, where some people are fasting for a purpose again. About when do I fast? When do you do this? Acts 13, 3. This is the church fasting before sending out missionaries. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So that was for the purpose of sending out these missionaries. They prayed and fasted there. I'll just give you a couple others real quick. Acts 14, they pray and fast about ordaining elders. Who's going to be ordained? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's some fasting involved in between in a marriage of a husband and a wife. If there's something going on that needs to be dealt with by the Lord. Then this is one of the, probably one of the most looked at chapters on fasting. And we're going to go here, and I think this is where we'll end up. Look in Isaiah chapter 58. What are the benefits of fasting? What does it do? What is the point of it? Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 3. Here's Israel fasting in certain instances, and they're essentially manipulating. We'll just read them. Isaiah 58:3. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" So Israel, that's a question Israel had of God. And then he says this, "Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labor." So it's not really a fast. It's what you called a fast, but it's not really a fast. "You find pleasure, you exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him?" The Lord's asking this sarcastically because that's not what they're doing. They're calling it a fast without actually fasting. Verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Verse 8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer." All right, I'm going to break some of this down real quickly as best we can in a few minutes here. All right, so the first part of this, Israel's asking a question about why don't they get an answer from God when they say they're fasting. God's response is, "You're not fasting. You're doing exactly the same thing you've been doing, and you're calling it a fast." And so he says, this is not, just because you're calling it a fast doesn't mean that's what you're doing. He says, and then he describes what a fast looks like. This is what it would entail in verses 5, 6, 7, all that. And then in verse 8, it describes the benefits. Look in verse 6. He says, "To loose the bands of wickedness." He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. All right, so that's the fast God's chosen. Contrary to what they had chosen, look back over there in verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. So that's the opposite of what God calls a fast. You're fasting for debate, for strife, for wickedness. And the purpose of the fast is to loose the bands of wickedness, not increase the bands of wickedness. The purpose of the fast is to remove burdens, not increase burdens. The purpose of the fast is to get help, not to become a burden to other people. And that was the Pharisees' religion. That's a lot of people's religion these days. But that's a political religion where you increase the burdens to the people, you increase the law, you increase the things. I don't know whether word, the burdens of the people. Verse 6, he says, undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, contrary to imprisoning people, to break every yoke, in verse 6, contrary to building more yokes for people, which is what the Pharisees were doing, just building yokes for people. The Lord says, what you're doing is not fasting. You've created a religion that it is for man and it's political. It has nothing to do with me. Verse 7 describes how the fast is going to serve to make the bonds of wickedness go away. Watch this, verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? So the Lord says, when you fast, the way you're going to remove the bonds of wickedness is you take bread that you would normally eat and give it to someone who doesn't have any. See, that's what he said. You take stuff that you would normally find pleasure in and distribute it to someone who doesn't have all the pleasures you have. Now, I mean, that's the point of this. I know that can go out of control and all that kind of stuff, but that's the point. That's how the fast is addressing the problems in Israel. He says, you have a bunch of stuff, and you know other folks that don't have stuff. So what you do is you miss a meal so maybe somebody else can eat a meal. You miss some of your wardrobe so maybe somebody else can have some clothes. And so that's the idea. That's how it's a practical thing here. You're addressing things, and he's talking to Israel about it, addressing these problems in Israel by your abstinence from the pleasures of this life. Of course, if you're just going to enjoy all the pleasures of this life, you'll miss these opportunities to do these things. All right, so verse 7, he describes how the fast is going to serve to address the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, break the yokes, all those things. And then in verse 8, he says, all right, now, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. There's clear direction now. Again, like we're talking about earlier, you fast until you have some answer to this thing. So this fast is over. Now there's a clear direction about where to go now or what's going to happen now. Now you have peace, whether the answer is yes or no. You have peace, you understand this is the next step. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. So that's a benefit of fasting. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. So righteousness will be the guide. And then behind, the rear reward, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. So you get an answer to prayer there. Verse 9, answer to prayer. Verses 9 through 11 describes the whole thing in a condensed form. He says, then shalt thou call, the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, you put away those things. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He just describes the benefits of this fast in Isaiah 58 at the end there. So, a few practical things. When the Lord says fast, number one, you don't have to advertise it. Don't do it to please men. If you got something between you and the Lord, fasting is a good way to put down the flesh so that you can hear from the Lord. Pharisees do things to be men pleasers. Second thing, how long do you fast? There's no prescription on it. Do it until you get an answer from the Lord about it. What do you fast about? Whatever you need an answer on. Whatever you need direction on. Whatever you need help on. There's no prescription. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with things where there's not a law. There's no law given saying you have to fast here and this is how long you got to do it. These are things that are personal matters between you and the Lord, between disciples and the Lord. And fasting is one of those things where you put down the flesh so that the Spirit of God has an opportunity to work. And anytime the flesh is put down, the Spirit of God has more of an opportunity to work. Anytime the flesh is built up in pleasure and things like that, the Spirit of God has less opportunity to do anything. And so fasting is one of those ways where you give the Lord an opportunity to do something that he can't normally do. The benefits there, you see them in Isaiah 58. There's direction, there's an answer to prayer, there is guidance, there's help, there's health to the soul, there's health to the even probably physical health benefits to it. I'm sure there's studies on that stuff. But you get some direction, you get some guidance, and notice he said to those disciples and those listening, he says, when you fast. So it's the idea is there's going to be some times when you're going to do it. There's going to be some times in your life where things get so troubling, it's going to disturb you enough where you need an answer from the Lord. And so this is the way to do it. You don't have to advertise it. You don't have to put it out there. Just between you and the Lord, deal with it. And so that is what a faithful fast looks like, and some benefits and some people that did it. So I hope that's helpful for you this morning. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, I pray it's been helpful. Going through these verses, went through a lot of verses, but I think the idea, the general idea and principle is clear. We want a reward from you, then we do these things and commit these things to you, looking for you to reward and not be men pleasers with our lives, try to be God pleasers. And then as fasting goes, Father, that you would point out areas in our lives where a fast would be beneficial to get an answer from you, or to loose some things that need to be loosed, and to cause the flesh to let go of some things. I pray that you'd make that clear to us and help us. We need help. And I thank you for everybody's here today. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.